Hey, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. It's Ben Lawrence.
Boogity.
Hey, man. So this is the first time you've called me, really, that I... Well, no, there was a time that you called me, and I had forgotten about it, but I don't think that I was actually recording when you called me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, hey, welcome.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
Tell you what, it's super cold over here.
I got thoughts, you know.
Yeah. About stuff.
Yeah. So it was 12 degrees this morning.
12 degrees.
Yeah. Right now it is, hold on, let me find it. 18 degrees.
Well, it's a bit colder. It's a bit colder over there than it is over here.
Yeah, although it's going to be up to 48 on Saturday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I saw this map where it said that most of the upper Midwest and Canada is going to be colder than Mars tomorrow.
Whoa.
Because it's going to be double digits. Going to be, like, in the single digits.
Yeah. Wow, well, that's crazy. So much for climate change. Well, wait, hold on.
No, there's snow. Don't you haven't you heard?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that's why I said climate change instead of global warming, because
yeah.
Double digits is pretty. I mean it's happened before.
Tell you what though, I could use some global warming right now.
Oh boy,
I'm outside spraying hairspray into the atmosphere. But
I had an actual thing that I drew back when I was in high school about these surfer guys who figured out that if the polar ice caps melted, then they'd be able to get bigger waves. And so they were shouting no ozone and on their surfboards, spraying a lot of deodorant in the air and stuff. But then they stopped doing that aerosol stuff as much, I think, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's to say, Ben? Who's to say, Ben? I am. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
So just a rundown of things I've been thinking about.
Uh-huh.
People say, hey, our democracy is eroded, but that's cool because emails. Still hate it. That email thing, it's a deal. It's a deal. People lose their jobs over it. It's a thing that happens. Two things. Again, if you don't like the term lesser of two evils, the same thing applies. You can't say that just because something horrible is happening now that something that was actually something to look at isn't a big deal.
Well,
now,
the thing about lesser of two evils, just quickly, is that this is not the first time that this election is not the first time that phrase has ever been used.
No, never. That's the other point, is that, it's a way of someone saying, here's the thing, because this is the big thing. The idea that Clinton is beyond reproach, right, is not something that a lot of people who voted for her thought. They voted for her because they liked, her better than they liked Trump. If you expect them to say, I really like everything she stands for, and that's why I voted for her, you're going to lose some voters. It doesn't pay to try to win them over to your way of thinking necessarily. I think that what you need to do is convince people to vote for her, not convince them that they're dumb for thinking that something she's done is problematic to them. That's that point. So now we've cleared that up, Ben. Problem solved.
Let's run our own democracy.
Number two, where are your sheets, Benny? I think they're on your desk, aren't they? Can you check? So, Betty is doing a report in the form of making a board game, and she's basing it on A Wrinkle in Time. A
Wrinkle in Time. What is that?
Yeah. It's over there on the printer, Betty. Sorry about that. A Wrinkle in Time is a book, Ben. It's a book.
By?
You should read it. It's good. It's for kids.
It's a kid's book.
And, yeah, it's a famous one.
I don't feel so bad.
Oh, this goes back to it also. Why wouldn't you know A Wrinkle in Time, Ben?
I've heard of it.
It seems pretty obvious. You and I are of a same age, but I'm a little bit older than you.
Slightly.
And I think you might have missed the A Wrinkle in Time window.
Probably.
Possible.
I don't think who wrote it, A of all?
Who wrote it? Madeline Lingle, I think her name is.
Yeah.
I'm still doing keep it wrong rules. I'm not looking up her name. That's what I believe it is. But I am going to look something up, and the thing I am looking up is a poll that I posted to Twitter. I mean, I didn't post it. Somebody else posted it. A friend of mine that you might know, who's a cartoon giraffe, posted it. And the poll goes like this. And Ben, you may have been on Twitter. You may not have been on Twitter. There are 21 minutes left, 42 votes. This is the thing is, how old are you? ? What did you think of that game theory tweet storm? Bad equals dumb to horrible. Okay equals interesting, brilliant. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, I know what game theory is, but I did not see a tweet storm about it.
Oh, okay. So this guy is like, okay, it's time for some game theory. And then he proceeded to tweet a lot. And I'm distilling this. You can find it. People are making fun of it all over the place. People are saying that it's brilliant all over the place. But the basic thing is that he wrote this thing that basically says, we have the perfect storm. Russia has always been the United States, you know, an enemy of the United States. And they used, you know, all this stuff. And he listed a whole bunch of stuff. Basically, they have played us. They have played a long con, and this is where we're at now. That's his basic idea.
You think the Russians have been playing the long con since like the Cold War?
Yes, indeed. Okay. Yes, that's the basic idea. And the question is, what, you know, we're asking, why doesn't Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton do anything now? You know, and the idea is that that stuff should have been done 20 years ago or whatever.
Do what? Nuke them?
Well, see, and again, this is his whole issue. But anyway, a lot of people were saying that this is the dumbest thing they've ever read. It's, you know, too long and not good and makes some really bad assumptions. Ooh, Russia's the big bad, you know, person. And then some other people who I also follow, we're saying that it really, you know, does have a lot of good points, and they don't understand why nobody likes it. And so I started noticing a trend. And again, this is not scientific in any way, right?
Your poll.
But the people who were this is dumb and bad, and, you know, it's not a good thing to focus on. Let's not focus on the fact that Russia hacked elections. Russia hacked elections would be in quotes there. Right.
Right.
But on what the Democrats did wrong to make people not want to vote for them. And so the poll I did was this. It was four sections. One is, I'm under 40 and I thought that tweet storm was bad. I'm under 40. It was okay. I'm over 40. It was bad. I'm over 40. It was okay.
Okay.
43% of the respondents to the poll were under 40 and thought it was bad. That is the majority win. Most, and then the rest of it, even though, you know, there's more of that percentage, it's split three ways. I'm over 40 and it was okay, was 22%. That was the second highest. I'm under 40, it was okay, was 21%. I'm over 40. It was bad. 14%. So overall, the people who thought it was bad, 57%, higher margin. People thought it was good or okay. I'm sorry, thought it was okay, 43%.
So what's the takeaway?
The takeaway is this. I think that if you were a kid at the time that Russia was the big bad guy, right? Russia, it was U.S. versus Russia. We were the two superpowers.
Yeah.
Pretty much. The idea that, you know, this huge tweet storm about Russia having played us all this time and they're, you know, these diabolical game players, masterminds, whatever, resonated a little bit. And you're like, yeah, this could actually be something. Whereas if you came of age when Russia was already on the outs, the idea that this country is, you know, doing all this stuff seems a little far-fetched. Seems conspiracy talk, basically.
Well, I mean, I'm over 40. I haven't read this tweet storm. I don't know what it is. But on the outset, I think it's ridiculous that Russia's been playing the long con.
Mm.
I think that there's been a number of regime changes in Russia. It never even used to be Russia. It was the Soviet Union. I mean, it was Russia before, but, you know, yeah, it was the Soviet Union.
Let me ask you, who's running the Soviet Union now, Ben? Who's running the Soviet Union? There's no Soviet Union.
See, that's right? Why, right? Right?
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, who's running Russia right now?
Putin.
Right, and what was Putin's job before he started running Russia? Do you remember?
He was in the KGB.
He was in the KGB, Ben! The KGB!
It doesn't mean he was running it. In the world. Mean he was. He has been plotting this entire time to.
Oh,
Jesus! Ben. Have we talked at all this week about your paranoid delusions?
You know, if people don't know by now, they should. For those of you who are just now listening, I am a paranoid person. There have been doctors who have signed off on it. I readily bring up my theories and my hypotheses, which are mostly hypotheses, to Ben so that he will shoot them down and get me back on the straight and narrow. But no, the idea would be that Putin was in the KGB and was like, hey, let's go. I'll tell you what, let's not be a world power anymore and then put me in charge and then I'm going to rig elections. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is that he's still playing by that handbook. And the Russians are really, really good at espionage. They are great at it. KGB, good.
See, that's the thing. If we know they're really good at espionage, they are not good at espionage.
Oh, no. See, this is where you're wrong. That's one of their great tricks, making you think that they're bad at espionage. No, but
I'm not
going to
deny that there's machinations going on that have feelings that whose feelings have footholds in the Cold War. But I do look askance at some master plan that has been in effect this entire time.
Well, again, that was the basic thing is not that. Okay, you remember Saving Private Ryan?
Did you ever see that movie? No, I have not seen that movie.
Okay, well, in Saving Private Ryan, they come up with this plan, right? All right, this is what we're gonna do. At the very beginning, they're it's like D-Day, I believe. And they come up with this plan, and they name like all the people that are gonna go in and what they're all gonna do, and like half of them are killed. So you think the plan isn't working, but then all of a sudden the plan works. And it's not because they knew that those people were going to die. It's that they planned as though they had all those people. And when the people started dying, they adjusted the plan and moved forward. Same kind of thing. It's not that the KGB played the long game, as this guy said, you know, or implied or what have you. But the idea that they've never lost sight of their ultimate goal. Ultimate goal being, of course, you know, recapturing their lost
all right
pieces of the Soviet Union. And so the idea being, if they have a president in the United States who's not going to interfere when they do stuff like, you know, take Crimea or whatever, that's good for them. Or help that's what they
Assad
like.
Bomb Syria.
Right, right. We're not going to do anything. So, you know, and the basic idea behind this whole game plan is, again, not to get you to be on their side necessarily, but to get you to not want to deal with them. Leave them alone. Let them do their own thing. So that's the basic idea. So I can tell that we've sort of exhausted that line of talk, which I understand. Let's go to number three on my hit parade this time. California is going to secede. No, it's not, Ben. It will not.
What, did you read that on some sort of clickbaity article out of Macedonia?
No. People keep talking about it.
California's going to secede? Well,
and see, this is the thing. No, they are not going to secede. We know this. California knows it. Well, government probably knows it.
Did you just make this up? Where'd you see this?
No. California folk. Look up California secede. You'll find something.
There was talk. I got to tell you, there was talk of Eastern Washington separating from Western Washington, calling themselves, Liberty.
Oh, hey, that wouldn't be so bad, would it?
I think it's a dumb name.
But you wouldn't care. Wait, right? Yelm isn't in West.
No,
in
no,
Eastern
no, no,
Washington,
no, no, no. I do have family that lives over there. You know, you got Washington State University over there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and it happens with all of these places, these, quote, real America places, mm-hmm. where they don't like government interference. But these places are routinely dependent on government subsidies.
Yes.
And so the more populated western side of the state actually foots most of the bill for infrastructure over on the eastern side of the state. And so yes. good luck fixing those bridges when you, Liberty, when you secede, when you become your own thing. Good luck raising money. You're going to be paying higher taxes because you have to raise more money.
Let me read you. These are the top stories. This was a day ago. Fox News, dreaming of leaving, how California can wave goodbye to the U.S. from SF Gate. From his home in Russia, Cal Exit leader plots California secession. Los Angeles Times, this is 2 weeks ago. Should California secede?
It's the same sort of battle cry that was going on when Texas was thinking of seceding. Oh, Texas has a clause in their constitution says they can secede. Yeah. No, they don't.
So here's this is the deal, and I think you and I are on the same page of this. Let's use Texas as an example. All right. Texas has both San Antonio, the air base in San Antonio, and the one in Fort Worth. I think it's Shepherd in Fort Worth. Oh, what's the name of the one in San Antonio?
Name of the one what?
I can't believe I can't remember. Air Force Base. Gateway to the Air Force, San Antonio. What is the name of their base, Ben?
I have no idea.
Oh, geez. This is driving me nuts.
Well, anyway, there's an Air Force Base in San Antonio. Don't focus on it too much. Get to the point.
Well, the fact is, if Texas decides to secede, guess what? A lot of the federal government's military stuff is there. How's that going to work? Answer is not. It's going to be messy. It's going to be weird. Same thing, California, San Diego, Ben.
Well, we talked about this when the wish fulfillment clickbait articles came out about Canada inviting California, Oregon, and Washington to join Canada. You know,
The
federal government has a lot of military bases on the coast. They're not going to like that too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there you go. The big thing also, not just military bases, Ben, I can neither confirm or deny where they are, but the West Coast has a lot of, let's say, weapons.
WMDs.
Important weapons that we like. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's actually not, so, that's not that's pretty public knowledge that there are some nuclear stores in the Puget Sound.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna say it myself, Ben. You could probably look it up somewhere. But here's the thing, people don't really think about that too much. They think about it, and this is the way it works with folks going, I can't stand what's going on here. I'm going to move to Australia again.
Right.
Look up white supremacy and Australia and see what happens.
Oh, they have a terrible civil rights record.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they don't have any guns.
It's going to be, well, yeah.
Just kill people with animals. guy walks into a bank holding a crocodile.
I'm not going to do anything with an accent or any of that, but it is an issue that the whole guns thing, this is one thing that living in the Midwest will like get you or tell you
guns?
Or what have you. Let's say guns are banned. Let's say they ban all guns, whatever. Someone plows an SUV into a bunch of pedestrians or whatever. You know what I mean? People can be horrible if they want to be horrible. Am I saying, however, that gun control would be bad necessarily? I am not saying that. As a person who, you know, does not, as we've covered before, paranoid, I don't feel comfortable with having a gun.
But there's
not because I'm afraid I'd use it, but I'm afraid because someone would steal it and use my fingerprints and shoot somebody with it.
You also have a child in the house, and
yeah, she might do that. That's right. You can never tell.
A lot of the gun control advocates, I think banning guns is sort of this pie in the sky dream that's not ever going to happen.
But did I ever tell you my pumpkin cannon thing?
But quickly, the gun control advocates want to get rid of these automatic assault rifles. So a crazy person will drive an SUV into a crowd and a couple people die, you know, and many more are injured. But this crazy person can also, with no effort at all, pull a trigger and shoot. I'm not even going to pretend to assume how many rounds it shoots per minute. And just mow down anybody and everybody within range.
See, and I think this is where the whole gun control thing really gets sticky, because what do you do with the people that already own them? What's the plan? Is there a plan?
Well, if you take the Australian model, they said turn them in.
Yeah,
turn them in. So they're no longer legal. We'll I think. It was either, I think they paid for them, the government paid for them. But yeah. Jim Jeffries has a really funny stand-up bit about that whole thing. Because they had a massacre. I think it was even school children. And he says, the government says, all right, no more guns. And we went, all right, that seems fair.
What year was that? Do you know? Like how long ago they
did that?
That
was in like the early 80s, I think.
Okay. So the big thing is, because this is a point that Jennifer made to me a little while ago. The AR-15, right? Is that it?
Yes.
AR-15? The AR-15 is owned by a lot of folks already. I know this sounds dumb and weird, but hunting is one of the reasons why people have them.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
So, but it's because they're cheaper or somehow more.
It's basically the civilian version of the AK-47. And that's got a lot of like patriotic cachet.
Well, and then the other thing is, this is something that I think I have brought this up to you before. The whole pumpkin cannon thing. The thing that someone out here would never bring up, you know, they always, you know, it's about home defense, it's about this, it's about that. One of the things that they will never probably bring up, especially when you're talking about a tragedy, is that shooting guns is fun. People like to do it. It's something that they enjoy doing. And why would they not bring it up? They wouldn't bring it up because it's a bad argument.
Right.
absolutely horrible argument. But the pumpkin cannon argument, which I think I might have brought up to you before.
You have mentioned
it. Goes like this. You know, you shoot a pumpkin cannon, it's awesome. You know, there's a car in the middle of the field and you shoot it and it's great. And you're like, woo, and you go, and then someone says to you, well, yeah, but think about what kind of damage this pumpkin cannon would do if somebody shot it at a person.
Yeah.
To which, of course, you go, well, yeah, but who's going to do that? That's crazy. This is my pumpkin cannon. I'm the one that shoots it. You take that, change the pumpkin cannon to a gun. That's exactly the way that the people who have guns out here feel. They'd be like, well, this is my gun. No one's going to shoot anybody with this because it's mine. I have it. And it's a much more...
It's not a very salient argument, though.
I'm going to use the word selfish. It's a very selfish argument. It's a very individual responsibility argument,
yeah.
What have you. I don't know. The one other thing that I find interesting, and this is only anecdotal. I know for a fact that, you know, loopholes happen and there are problems and all that. There was a time out here back in the early to mid 90s where I tried to buy a gun and the owner of the store was like, nope. I had a permit for one and everything, but he just didn't like the vibe coming off of me. And he was like, I'm not selling you a gun. No, that is not happening. I was like, but I have this gun. And he's like, I don't care if you have a letter from Jesus, I'm not going to sell you this gun. And it turned out to be a good call on his part, but that's something you don't hear about that often.
I think if you had a letter from Jesus to let you buy a gun, you need to think about switching religions.
Well, here, or starting your own.
Becoming a prophet.
Yeah, exactly. There's a letter written by Jesus somewhere around 1 AD. I know, maybe too early. That where it calls me by name and it says that I can own a gun.
Probably around 3280,
3280. Yeah, I bet you're right. There's always this thing about, well, what would the founding fathers say if this? What would Jesus say if that? And the thing that's great about it is that nobody knows. It is a great thought exercise. It's awesome. But the fact is, if you bring George Washington forward to now,
he's going to wonder where all the slaves are.
Well, that was something, right? And we say, slaves are educated to the point of not being slaves anymore. In fact, we don't have that term. We don't actually bring anyone to this country anymore. We simply call it outsourcing. And we don't buy people. We just pay them a really, really low wage to work in their own countries for us for less than we pay people over here. And he'll go, well, that's brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? It's because we didn't have this sort of technology. What happens to the people who used to do those jobs in the U.S.? Well, funny you might ask. Nobody knows. The big thing I'm thinking about, Ben, robots, right? You remember the Luddites? Do you remember who those folks were?
The Luddites.
Yeah, there's a guy named Ludd who used to smash machines that were doing, I believe it was textile work. From that, we get the term Luddite, people that don't like using new technology.
I've heard of that term, but I did not know of its origin.
Yeah, the Luddites were against the mechanization of work, basically. And I think, eventually, you know what the best robot is going to be? What the pinnacle of robots are going to be? They aren't going to be human robots. They are going to be, of course, self-driving cars. Those are the robots that everybody... That will change the world in many ways. You know the big one, right? You've heard about this, I'm sure, Ben.
You're going to have to tell me what you're thinking about before I told you if I've heard it.
Okay. The hotel motel industry.
Yes, how it's going to be put out of business because people will just sleep in the cars on the way cross country.
Exactly.
Or vans, or RVs, most likely. But yeah, the hotel motel industry is going to suffer when self-driving cars come into effect. I have heard that.
The big thing that I remember as a kid, you know, is the whole concept of, I think it's Mickey, Goofy, and Donald are in like an RV and they're living inside of it, you know, sleeping, doing all that kind of stuff, while either someone's driving or the van or the RV is driving itself, one of the two.
Well, that was the joke of the cartoon. I think Goofy gets out of the car that's pulling the trailer and gets into the trailer to have lunch with Donald and Mickey. And then somebody like Mickey realizes who's driving the car. And it becomes, you know, a funny cartoon about all of them trying to get back into the car so they don't fall off the cliff.
So in that case, the commercial for the self-driving car is that scene. And then Goofy goes, well, I don't know, what are you talking about? And then they go, oh yeah, and then they just keep eating.
And then the tagline would have been, cartoons in the 30s would have been really boring with the self-driving car.
Luckily, you can watch all the ones you want, or what have you.
Yeah,
just, I mean, I could do you one further, and, you know, think about this, homelessness, right? You buy a car, and you just, you know, as cars get more and more livable, because you don't need all those pesky controls, you know, you have a new class of person. It's not a trailer park. It's a parking lot that you live in.
Well, I don't think you're going to have people living in two-door coupes, right? You're going to have a new class of self-driving livable cars, vans, RVs.
Yeah. I agree with that.
All right.
So the key then would be, you know, you don't own a car anymore. You lease it, right? Unless you're really rich, or not really rich, but, you know, richer, in which case you do buy your own car. Otherwise, you know, and another idea, an Uber type thing, right? You own a car and you have a license through someone. Your car drives you to work. And while you're at work, your car's out making you money.
Exactly. Uber tried doing this in San Francisco recently. They put their self-driving autonomous, I know that's redundant. They put their autonomous cars out on the freeway and bypassing regulation. And the city of San Francisco shut that down right quick. So they tried doing it. But I agree with you. Automation is the next, you know, we live in this post-industrial world. We live in a pre-automation world, even though there are lots of robots doing our work for us. There's just going to be many, many more coming.
And the big news thing
that came out a couple days ago is that President-elect Trump said he saved, you know, hundreds of jobs with this HVAC manufacturer.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
And by giving them like a tax incentive. Giving them so many millions of dollars to keep these jobs in the U.S., even though some of the jobs that he claimed he saved were never going to go to Mexico in the first place, but never mind that. The story came out that the carrier is going to use this money to automate their factories, thereby laying off more people.
Yep.
And so that's going to happen for every – that's happening across the board. With every manufacturing company, the big thing is automation. When we have self-driving delivery trucks, that's another thing. I think we talked about this. Where all these truck drivers who know nothing else and don't want to do anything else will be put out of a job. Because automated trucks are cheaper.
See, the big thing with, you know, humanoid robots, right? You have that uncanny valley of, no, this is gross. Don't like it. But people love their cars. Their cars have personality. We have Herbie. We have
Kit.
You know, Kit. Yep, exactly. So, forget humanoid robots. Robot car. Your robot car comes to pick you up.
Yeah.
You whistle for it, you know, whatever. It'll be great. And also people will be out of work.
I'm
taxi drivers.
I'm torn on the on I know I'm probably never going to own a self-driving car in my lifetime. Cuz it might be a while before I'm able to afford one. I think my nephews and your kids will probably have them. I think they'll be ubiquitous by that point. But I'm torn as to whether or not I actually want one, because I do enjoy driving. I like driving.
See, that's the thing, is that our generation, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think my daughter will be somebody who gets a driver's license.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the generation after her will. Or if it'll be like a pilot's license.
I think, you know? Yeah, exactly. I think there's going to be, but there's going to come a time, and who knows if it's one generation or two generations away from us, that is going to look agog at the older generation. You actually drove your own car? Why would you do that?
People died so much. Yes, they did. But this is the thing that people don't think about, that, of course, because, again, being paranoid, this is something I think about all the time.
Yeah.
Imagine when you can't take a car everywhere you want to go.
Right.
You get in a car, and the car is allowed to take you to the store, and it's allowed to take you here, and it's allowed to take you here, and that's it. That's what being under house arrest will be like, probably, in the future.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's no longer you aren't allowed to drive a car. I don't even know if that's a thing. Oh, drunk driving. That's right. You can't drive a car. But instead, you can't manually drive a car at all. And then also, the automated car will only take you to these places.
Right.
Oh, hey, I wanted to ask you. These Amazon stores where you just walk in and walk out with stuff. Have you
you know
heard
what?
About this?
I apparently had that same idea.
Yep.
Years ago.
Yeah, you told it to me, and then I told it to Jeff Bezos, and now he's made it. You're welcome.
Where's my cut?
No. Here's your cut, says Jeff Bezos. Pulls out a straight razor. Exactly. Show them what we do at Amazon, boys.
I haven't. Let's show them the Amazon way. Hey, babe. Hey, fellas. Give him an Amazon smile, would you?
Oh, that's so right. That works so well. For those of you who are listening in the future, Amazon used to have a logo that was called the smile. That maybe they still have it. Maybe they do. But there's also something called a, what is it? Is it a town in Scotland? A Glasgow smile? Is that what it is?
It might be. Glasgow is a town in Scotland. Is that when they cut you, like...
Well, they cut you in the face and it makes it like the scars that the Joker had in... The Christian Bale.
So they have the Amazon brick and mortar store, which seems like we're going backwards. But anyway, here in Seattle, I have not been to it.
Well, because from what I understand, you can walk out with stuff.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's you probably have to go through some sort of registration. You can't just, like, walk in and walk out. You have to, like, sign up. It has to know you're there. You have to probably do things before you're able to do that. But, yeah, I don't know how they tell which things are yours, like, in proximity to your phone. Or maybe just scan what you're taking and then just walk out.
I think the idea is that it's tagged in such a way that when you walk out, it scans it and charges you.
Yeah, see, and that was my idea a long time ago. That was sort of my utopian way to go grocery shopping. Not to, like, go to the bookstore or anything like that, but I just wanted to go and get my groceries and not have to stand in line for 20 minutes while some checker scans everything and tries to make small talk.
Yep. Yeah, because you hate people.
Because
I know about that.
I hate people.
It's all right. Yeah.
I don't hate people. I just hate people trying to talk to me.
Yeah. I know. The concept is a concept. They're all right. Sure. But
people are fine as long as they are way over there.
I really think that is something that is going to happen eventually. And then you're gonna walk out eventually, and you'll be like, "How did I get this?" There's not gonna be any shoplifting anymore. It's gonna be impossible. What's gonna be instead is you're gonna get home, and there's gonna be stuff that you didn't mean to have in your cart, and you're gonna go, "All right, I can't believe I left with this."
It's gonna be more like, "You bought apples. Here's a bunch of bananas you didn't want, but." Studies show that people who like apples like bananas.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Your bananas will be at your doorstep. And no, I don't. Click now if you don't want bananas. Yeah, it's possible. It really is. All right, so let's talk about this. Trump presidency still happening? Pretty sure. Think it will?
I think it will. There's talk of flipping electors. The vote is on the 19th, which is, as we record this, is the 15th.
On Monday. We'll know for sure by the time
we will know for sure. Talk next. I think that I can't quite remember where his electoral vote landed. I think it's like 306 or something. I think he won't have that many, but he will still have enough. He will still have 270. They will probably flip enough to make a statement, and then he's still going to have a presidency.
Because, you need, what, 30-something? 30-something, that's it.
30-something.
Which,
36.
I'm of the opinion that what's going to happen is that everything's going to be bad compared to how it was.
Yeah.
But there's going to be gradations of it. Like, all of a sudden, people are going to like John McCain again because he's not as bad as everybody. You know what I mean? It's going to be a lot of... All of a sudden... People that are reason because this is the thing is that people that are reasonable, quote unquote, right?
Yeah,
aren't gonna go in the streets with a baseball bat and smash in cars and stuff like that.
No, they're just gonna post things on Facebook.
They're gonna complain and then post things on Facebook and all that. And eventually, things are gonna normalize in some ways, and people are gonna be like, I guess it's okay.
But that's what everybody's trying to have not happen, is to not make it normal. To not normalize all this crap.
And it may happen. I do think, however, that the thing that people are going to have to, come to grips with, I guess, whatever, is that the folks who will actually do, fighting for the stuff that they want to have happen... Folks that would actually be in the trenches, if you will, doing all that stuff, are going to be folks that in normal situations they may not get along with. Because it takes a certain type of person to actually physically take action. And sometimes it's not... You might agree with them on, this, that, or the other, but you may not agree with them for the other thing. So it's a weird... It's more chaotic...
Yeah,
there's not a nice way out of this. It's either you kowtow to the new way of doing things, or you get in bed with people that you think are crazy.
It's everybody, kind of. It's everybody coming together to stand up. The same thing happened during the Occupy Wall Street movement, right? The movement. A lot of people were behind the movement. But these same people were not behind the people who were doing the movement.
Yes. And the thing that I was cautioning people around the time of the election, when, it was Hillary people versus Bernie people, and then Hillary and Bernie people against, the dumb folks, quote unquote, who are voting for Trump against their own best interests. The idea is, You say, these folks, they're voting against their own interests, and I'm going to be laughing so hard when it comes back to bite them. And the idea is, if you really care and you really want to change stuff, and as we can tell from the way I'm saying it, I don't. I am a coward and lazy. I'm not going to do anything. But if you really cared about the people, I mean, if you really cared about solving this problem, you would instead be making inroads to those people now so that they know when stuff doesn't go the way that they want it to, they have a place and you all can work together. And they're like, well, I would never work with someone who, you know, flies a Confederate flag. And I get it. That is a very, very good line to draw. Perfect line to draw. Only problem is that they are one of the people that you may have to win over if Trump screws them over and they're looking for a place to go. Otherwise, everyone's going to be disparate.
I mean, they're looking for a place to go and they're just going to go someplace more extreme.
That is most likely, as lines are being drawn, that is what is going to happen. Because accidentally racist didn't do that well on the charts. Do you remember that? Do you remember that song?
No.
I think about it all the time. I think about it all the time because that is the pathway to this strange land if the extremes were to meet in the middle. Accidentally Racist was a song, and I'm going to break protocol and read you the lyrics.
Who's to buy?
Okay. It is by Brad Paisley featuring LL Cool J.
I think I remember this.
To the man that waited on me at the Starbucks down on Main, I hope you understand when I put on that t-shirt, the only thing I meant to say, I'm a Skynyrd fan. The red flag on my chest somehow is like an elephant in the corner of the South, and I just walked him right in the room, just a proud rebel son with an old can of worms, looking like I got a lot to learn, but from my point of view, I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland, trying to understand what it's like not to be. I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done, and it ain't like you and me can rewrite history. Our generation didn't start this nation. We're still picking up the pieces, walking on eggshells, fighting over yesterday, and caught between Southern pride and Southern blame. All right?
So I take it that was Brad Paisley's lyric.
Oh, and this is also Brad Paisley. They called it Reconstruction, fixed the buildings, dried some tears. We're still sifting through the rubble after 150 years. I try to put myself in your shoes, and that's a good place to begin, but it ain't like I can walk a mile in someone else's skin. And it goes back to that. And now this is LL Cool J's. Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. You should try to get to know me. I really wish you would. Now my chains are gold, but I still misunderstand. It wasn't when Sherman's March turned the South into... Oh, now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's March turned the South into firewood. I want you to get paid, but be a slave I never could. Feel like a newfangled Django dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm not thinking it's all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love you to buy you a beer, conversate, and clear the air. But I see that red flag, and I think you wish I wasn't there. And then there's more to it. But the idea, right? It was LL Cool J and Brad Paisley getting together and going, hey, I love wearing the Confederate flag, but I want to understand and get to know you a little bit better. And LL Cool J sighed, hey, that flag, man.
Yeah.
Whoa, hold on. But I didn't do anything about, you know, the Civil War, you know, happened a long time ago. We both understand it. Let's get together and learn some stuff. And people thought, rightfully so, I think, that it was a little ridiculous. The song was a little ridiculous. However, that is kind of where the weird bridges mending thing would have to go if there was ever going to be a real class, not warfare, but class struggle thing where all the lower class folks in the United States get together. Because as long as everybody keeps fighting, that's great for the establishment.
Keep them distracted.
Exactly. We'll keep them fighting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So
it's trying to it's there's both sides have their reasons, and both sides don't want to capitulate to the other, and so it's finding a compromise. You are not going to find one. We're, you know, this country has more and more been going into the realm of compromise means failure.
Right.
And so
and the idea is I will not that's exactly right. Compromise means failure. I am not going to tarnish my ideals by extending a hand to someone whose views are, in my opinion, abhorrent.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that it's why this thing is gonna... Uh-oh. Sorry, Ben.
What?
That's it. Telling too much truth, they're going to get you. No. Someone
being,
just blew.
I'm being visited by the wambulance.
Someone just blew someone's mind. We got to get out. The basic idea is, you know, and I hate to say it, but it's true. I think that the plan is probably going to go off. I would love to be wrong. You can say to me, hey, do you remember when you thought that crazy thing and it didn't happen? And I'll be like, yes, Ben, I do.
Say your crazy thing first.
Basically, if you look at who Trump is electing, right?
You mean who he's picking for his cabinet?
Yes. Who he's picking for his cabinet. It's all people who have had grudges against the departments they're being put in charge of.
Yeah.
If you wanted to destroy the federal government from within, drain it, make it non-functional, you would be hard-pressed to pick a better group of people to head their specific departments. I mean, it makes sense, right? Put someone in charge of the EPA who's had a big problem with the EPA. They'll know exactly what they want to roll back.
Yeah.
You know?
Put someone in charge of energy who wanted to get rid of that department.
Exactly. Exactly. So, it's easy to put somebody in charge if your whole idea is to shut everything down, which I think is probably what's going to happen. Or going to try to happen. We'll see what happens.
Regulation is going to get shut down. I don't think these actual departments are going to go away. I think they're going to be hamstrung and ineffective, and it's going to take a long time to get that back on track. You know, in the meantime,
I think
be careful.
You
what
have
kind of
a
food
better,
you
have a better sense of it. Hamstrung rather than completely shuttered, I think, is probably more efficient, if you will, in that way.
Yeah, ineffective,
but.
Not gone completely.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we'll see some. I mean, stuff is going to be a little crazy.
Yep,
that's for sure. I asked a couple people who are sort of in my mindset as far as paranoia goes, but on the other side of the spectrum, as far as they're concerned, it's a Soros who's doing everything. You know, he's
right.
The guy pulling the strings and all that.
He's the bad and money guy on the left, and the Koch brothers are the bad money guys on the right.
Right. And this is what I asked him. I said, I have a question for you.
And then you just stared at him for hours.
If there was a deal where Donald Trump and Soros could get in bed together and make a ton of money, do you think Donald Trump would go for it?
And what was the response?
And he said, I think that his idea of if he could do it without it being made public, I think he would. but I think that he cares about his image too much.
Mm.
And I kind of differ with him. I don't think that he does. I think that he would make the deal. He would explain why it was a good deal. And
he'd brag about it.
Yeah. He'd brag about how he got the better part of the deal, yeah, probably.
Or how it was all his idea.
The big question I have, and I was afraid to ask this on Twitter. I'm not as afraid to just mention it on this podcast.
Okay.
I have one question that I'm dying to see how it plays out, and that is, how does the Church of Scientology fare under the Trump administration? Because
no earthly idea.
Because if you think about it, right? Is it a game recognized game thing where they kind of leave each other alone? Or like in Russia, right? The Church of Scientology is getting shut down. They're raiding their headquarters. They're doing all sorts of stuff. Would the Trump administration see that there's money to be had there and try to shut them down? And get their hands on?
Does the Church of Scientology pay federal income tax?
They do exempt? Not. They are a religion.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. There is money to be had. Maybe not as much as from the Catholic Church, but still plenty of dough to be had.
Yeah. So that's my big thing, and so keep that under your hat. We will see within the next 4 years if something happens.
Hey, I'm gonna have to go, so we're gonna have to wrap this up.
Right, yeah. Let's do this just really quick. As you know, Ben, it's your favorite segment.
Indeed.
And it's called Yelling for Betty. Betty.
Hey.
Hey. What do you have to say to the people? Anything?
What is 2150?
Can 2154 speak? No. Reduced?
No. What I have to say is.
Okay. The answer is yes, by the way. Really? Go ahead.
Please do well on your book reports.
Please do well on your book reports, everybody.
All right. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah.
And as always, keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, Ben.
Bye.
Bye.